show. Sportsnet 590 The Fan. J.D. Bungus, Ailish Wolfhard, Blake Murphy. Finally. Coward's Parlay hits last night, thanks to the Buccaneers taking care of business. Could have just done that for me 2 weeks in a row, Bucks. But again, this one of the, I think the biggest story of the season is how wide open it is. There really has yet to feel, even last night, the Bucs are supposed to be this terrorizing team. I know they closed well, but there was that moment where, again, Brady throws the interception and the game is tied, and I'm thinking, boy, are they really going to do this? Are they really going to blow this? And that's because we've become so accustomed to it, like these double-digit favorites blowing games. We just saw the Titans, and I know the Titans are not juggernauts, but lose to the Texans. Sometimes it's very, very hard to feel like you have a grip on what's going on with the league right now. What also comes with that is not the extra even playoff spot and all these different things. It's like, who the hell is MVP? When you don't have front runner teams, when you don't have a dominant team, and some of the best teams you do have, like the Arizona Cardinals, who have missed Kyler Murray for multiple weeks now, I think three straight weeks, and haven't missed a beat, are still winning football games. How do you project this race? Our next guest wrote about it, and his latest candidate, I'm fully on board with. It's Connor Warr from Sports Illustrated. What's up, buddy? How you doing?
Hey, I'm doing well, thanks. Thanks for having me.
So, yeah, what do you make of just, like, let's start with the first thing before we get into the MVP thing, of just why we're seeing so much parity this year. Like, why we every week it feels like we have a new, oh, did you know this team is really actually good? Like, this week it feels like the Colts and the Vikings were doing that for. And every week there feels like there's two different teams where we go, no, this is actually the good teams in football this year. These are the ones.
Well, I think this year is kind of interesting, right? Because you had last year the outside zone teams kind of start crushing everybody and rolling over everybody, like the Packers, for example. And then there was a defensive adjustment over the offseason where, you know, teams started to catch up and sort of counter all that stuff. So we're in this sort of stagnancy period offensively, schematically. There's nothing really new that teams haven't seen in a while. And so I think that sort of forces quarterback play to stagnate as well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I was thinking about that too the other day, about how many bad quarterbacks there are. That at the beginning of the year, it felt like, oh my God, we're living just in this golden era of quarterbacks. Everybody has a quarterback. Everybody has a quarterback. And then I find myself watching NFL Sunday where it's like, okay, Huntley and Semien, and you know, you just go down the line of how Heineke, not exactly just a ton of awesome name brand these past couple of weeks. So the MVP race, you wrote about it. You've got a candidate that I think is getting a lot of heat right now. The betting odds though don't reflect it at all. Why? I'll just set you up. Like, if you're voting for MVP today, who is getting it? And if you are trying to project forward, who do you like to start to emerge?
Well, I mean, I think Tom Brady's card, you know, it's going to be hard to take that award away from him, especially if he plays as efficiently as he continues to play. And, you know, if the Buccaneers show up in the playoffs, like he's going to be close to 50 touchdowns, probably in the mid 40s at some point. And so that's going to be hard to take that award away from him. But I think you have to look at other guys. You know, I think Jonathan Taylor, for example, is single-handedly propelling that offense. I mean, he has below-average quarterback play. He's only had Quentin Nelson for, I think, five games this year for 100% of the snaps. And so I just think it's one of those situations where you have to look at the totality of the work, and he's basically won three or four games for them at this point by himself.
So it's very difficult for a non-quarterback to win an MVP. Adrian Peterson in 2012 was the last player to do that. Looking at the odds here, so yeah, Brady is the overwhelming favorite at plus 250 here with a couple weeks left. And the top nine players by MVP odds and 11 of the top 12, or 12 of the top 13, are all quarterbacks. Jonathan Taylor at plus 2,000 is the one outlier. You've got Cooper Kupp, but that's the odds on Cooper Kupp are like way, way too long to fit in this discussion here. So Jonathan Taylor is basically on the board as the only non-quarterback option with a real shot. What do you think the bar is? You know, when I mentioned that stat, you've got to go back to 2012. What is the bar for a running back to overcome these quarterbacks?
Well, Well, I think for one thing, it's a situation where you have to have middling quarterback play, and you have to have a running back basically put his team on his back. And it was Adrian Peterson, and it was LaDainian Tomlinson in 2006. I mean, LaDainian Tomlinson in 2006 scored 28 touchdowns, and you know, I think had multiple three-touchdown games, four-touchdown games. So Jonathan Taylor isn't necessarily there, but I think we're in the right environment where I don't think a quarterback is running away with it necessarily. I think it's a good defensive year. I think people are having a better understanding of what the running game is adding to the fold. And so I think it's a nice year to kind of emerge as a dark horse candidate there if you're Taylor.
So we're going to reconnect with Connor in a second here. I really like the Taylor case. I actually really like the Derrick Henry case. He can't win because he'll miss too many games. Mm-hmm. But if you just look at what's happened to the Titans offense without him, it's they are who we thought they were. And his injury let him off the hook. But if you look at, so I saw a really good set of tweets from a guy named Ben Solak, who works for The Ringer. And it was talking about how Taylor is now getting all of this hype because he scored so many touchdowns in one game, right? He gets the 5 touchdowns. Mm. And anybody who plays fantasy football knows that those touchdowns, right, that usually it's a tough variable to project. That's why they always say, like, hey, don't try to get the touchdown guys. You mm-hmm. can give all, there's all the kinds of different variables that go into it. But if you just look at what Connor was saying, and I think he's back and we'll reconnect with him here, which is just simply, it's not just the touchdowns with this guy. It's that it's 100 yards rushing just about every single time they win. Like, look, if I go through their game logs, obviously the Bills game, 185 rush yards.
Yeah, we know about that one.
Jaguars is a game that you don't get a ton of credit for, but still, it's 116 rush yards, 172 against the Jets, 107 in a win against San Francisco, 145 in a win against Houston. The games where they lose, like the one against Baltimore, 53 yards. They lose to Tennessee, 70 yards. Like the other one against Tennessee, 64. Early in the year, they just weren't using him enough. But it's like now the clear identity of this team is him running the ball. And I just look at Taylor and I say, without Derrick Henry playing right now, there is no other player that is more directly responsible for the success of their offense that is like a wider gap from their peers right now. And when I look at even Tom Brady, and we're trying to do this narrative award, and we're going, oh, well, you know, he's old, and this is what's happening. Tom Brady was awful the last 2 weeks. Like, I didn't feel like I'm watching the MVP caliber Tom Brady the last 3 weeks of the NFL season. He was good last night. It was a lot of Gronk, like, that I thought rejuvenated the offense. But to me, Brady, it still feels like this is a guy with a ton of weapons. Mm-hmm. I love the case that, Connor, you were just outlining. I think you're back with us, is that when we're looking around at what is around Taylor and who is the next closest back to him, who is the next peer to him, who is most responsible for his team, who is playing an elite level, like, those are the things that are supposed to mean something to me if it's like the MVP, because you're supposed to blend best and most valuable to the league and most valuable to your team. I actually just, like, don't even see a case where so many of these names, like Dak Prescott being ahead of him, is nuts to me. Lamar Jackson after being hurt, like Justin Herbert, some of these names, I'm just like, no, this doesn't make sense.
Yeah, I mean, at that point, you're just listing quarterbacks, which is, you know, it's indicative of the award. It's how we've chosen to understand it. But I would say that, you know, we need to open our minds a little bit more here, because Taylor, you know, not only is the Quentin Nelson thing, so you've only had him for 5 games for 100% of the snaps, like we said, but also, you know, and I don't like to solely go by Pro Football Focus metrics, but, like, they do great offensive linemen, right? And by their standards, he only has one top 10 offensive lineman, and it's not Quentin Nelson this year, right? And so it's not like you're running behind the 2012 Dallas Cowboys offense, where this is your DeMarco Murray and you're a product of your system. I mean, you're gaining tough yards, and you're doing things that other backs aren't doing, right? Like, the Bills are the third best rushing defense in the league. And going into last week, and they were the best passing defense in the league, and you're also catching touchdowns. You're involved in the passing game. You're an adequate pass blocker. And so I think all that stuff, when combined with, you know, Carson Wentz's vacillations in play, I think you make a really strong candidacy. Now, I mean, Cooper Kupp, I think in a different way you could make a strong candidacy for, because when you understand the Rams offense, for example, like, it does not exist. Like, if he gets hurt, that entire train stops, right? Because yep. of the route concepts he runs, the way he runs them, the way that he's able to draw in defenders by himself. So that's another name. But, like, I think we sort of just assume that quarterback is the singular position that can have that kind of power over an offense, and that's just not a correct assumption.
If Matt Stafford wins MVP this year, I don't know what to do, because I've literally felt as though there's no difference between him and Jared Goff for like 2 weeks in a row. If a guy like if that ends up happening, it is like shut it down, shut it all down.
So Connor, my question is, with everything you've just said and this narrative that we're projecting, do you think that this could be the tipping point where we start to look at this award differently moving forward?
No, because they won't give me a vote. That's the problem, right? They don't let me cast a ballot. But no, I mean, I just think like there will eventually be a turnover. I think and there will be a sea change in the way that we vote, because our statistics and our ability to measure stuff is getting better. And I think maybe 3, 4, 5 years down the line, for example, we will have a metric that's going to allow us to put an offensive lineman, for example, up against a quarterback or up against another running back. You know, I know that some sites have experimented with like a baseball version of WAR or something like that. And I think we're not far away from that singular statistic that would allow us to see things in a different way. I just don't think we're there right now. I think we're still too much of a, you know, we're a little bit like the scouts that are picking the players, right? We're distracted by flashy objects. And right now, quarterback throwing 45 touchdowns is still a cool thing to all of us. And we'll probably all just deviate to that until we can get something better back from the data.
So we're, I guess, approaching or at the halfway point of the NFL season here. What type of projections are you seeing? You wrote an article about 6 teams that could be worse in the second half of the season. Who might be the most surprising team in that dilemma that we might be approaching?
Well, I mean, they look bad, right, that I had the Chiefs in there, and then they end up Patrick Mahomes throwing for like 500 yards and 5 touchdowns. But and I got a lot of flack for them saying, you know, I think they're going to be worse despite the fact that their record is going to be better. And what I mean by that is, like, they have a really hard end-of-season schedule. There are some teams that really had a front-loaded schedule this year, more discrepancy than I can remember seeing in recent years. And I just think that if you face a team that can match up against Tyreek Hill, which is becoming more and more common because teams are drafting players specifically to take that guy away, you know, then you're going to have a harder time. And there's been these slogs. I mean, you know, they only scored 19 points against the Cowboys last week. And, you know, while we uniquely criticize them, I think, for not scoring 40 points every game, it's just that it's not going to look like it used to for the Chiefs. And I think that we're going to have to get used to, you know, these 21-point games from them, maybe like a 2-touchdown game from Patrick Mahomes. And while that's not necessarily indicative of him struggling, you know, it is indicative of the fact that I think the league is catching up to, or at least doing a better job of matching up against what the Chiefs have right now.
So one team that's certainly projecting to be going on a little bit of a downward spiral are the Buffalo Bills. And my question to you is, who is the actual best team in the AFC? And if that's not the Bills, probably the Patriots, and are they really frauds, the Bills?
Well, I wrote this for today. I think that what the Patriots are doing is, with Bill Belichick this year, is almost as impressive as what Tom Brady did last year, right? When, you know, Tom Brady joining a super team and winning the Super Bowl, to me, is almost equally impressive as starting over with the 5th drafted quarterback in the NFL draft this year, and then going on to maybe beat the Buffalo Bills. The problem with Buffalo, I think, and I've been saying this since the beginning of the season, they didn't give Brian Daboll, the offensive coordinator, they didn't give him enough help to reimagine what he did last year. Like, you can't just come back with the same set of skill position players. And there was all this rumbling about maybe they were in the market for Travis Etienne in the draft, and maybe once he got taken, they reversed course to defensive players. But, like, they needed another playmaker. They needed to add something into the fold that they didn't already show on film last year. And I don't think that's Josh Allen's fault. I don't think that's Brian Daboll's fault. I think that's nobody kind of bringing anything else into the fold. I mean, they were rumored to be in on, you know, and I'd heard them in on Zach Ertz before the season. And, like, even something like that would have made some sense, even though their tight end play is actually pretty good. But, you know, they needed something to diversify what they did last year, and they just haven't brought that to the table yet.
Yeah, I think they thought they were getting that in Sanders, but the running backs, it is odd to bring those guys back for another year and go, this is the group. It's like, I haven't had really a single time where Devin Singletary, I was like, wow, look at Devin Singletary, or Zach Moss, I was like, wow, look at Zach Moss. It's a lot of, like, wow, I can't believe that guy had 50 yards rushing this game. Like, wow, that's like quite an accomplishment.
It's great. The Travis Etienne pick then was a bad pick for the two franchises that I care most about because it wasn't a good one for the Jaguars either.
Yeah. Okay. So since we're on team corner, because Ailish is basically just asking people if the Bills are frauds. She's going so hard on it because she's a Bills fan who was very, very high on them and now is crushed and almost asking people to be like, are the Bills fraud? So that you say an answer like that, where you're like, hey, there's reasons for this.
And then I feel a little better.
Yeah, yeah. I'm going to do the opposite with my team, which is just crush them and ask if like there just flat out is any hope for any type of reversal, because the Seattle Seahawks seem to have a completely disinterested owner, a power group at the very top that has been failing for year over year over year over year, despite all the criticisms from the fan base, the quarterback, whoever will listen to them. It doesn't feel like Pete Carroll is going anywhere. It doesn't feel like John Schneider is going anywhere. They have a quarterback who is seemingly potentially came back from an injury too soon. I don't know. It's hard to tell. Maybe he's just aged overnight and gone from one of the league's premier players to a guy who can't get a touchdown against the Arizona Cardinals. I just can't think of a situation that's actually worse than what Seattle has, despite having Russell Wilson, given all the parameters around the team and the fact that they don't have a draft pick because they're playing I don't even know what he actually is on defense, but a guy who is responsible for like most of the defensive problems.
Yeah, it's a weird situation. And I almost look at it as it's sort of a long span law of averages over time, where if you're John Schneider, like you were so good in the mid rounds of drafts for like 5 or 6 years, like, that's not sustainable. Like no general manager. There's been like economists who have tracked this over like decades, right? There's no general manager who is markedly better than another general manager at draft picks, right? It's all a crapshoot. And the Seattle Seahawks had a run that is probably unlike any other in recent football history, right? Yeah. Where you were just nabbing guys from the middle of the round. You didn't have to pay them a ton of money and you could collect them all. And Pete Carroll had this like constant roster churn philosophy that was fascinating and that empowered everybody. But now the problem is the cupboard just got bare. And then, you know, you were picking late too often. You were giving away picks, but not getting a lot in return. And I think that's, you know, selfishly, that's probably what Russell Wilson sees, right? You're at a decision point in your career. Like, do you want to stick around here for this 3-year rebuild, or do you want to just back out and, you know, let it take care of itself? I think it's a mutual beneficial thing. Like, he's going to be able to get a Herschel Walker type return for Russell Wilson. I mean, look what they were talking to the Bears about, you know, 3 first-round picks, 2 mid-round picks, 2 quality starters. Like, you know, he's going to be able to command that from somebody. And I think that at this point, it's one of those decisions that you should probably start thinking about, because this roster is not an overnight fix. I mean, they have some serious work to do.
I'm not even exaggerating. I would say that this is a take that some people least agree with me on, and I'll let you go on this. But I genuinely would give back the Super Bowl win to have not experienced the Pete Carroll, John Schneider era. Like, watching Pete Carroll every week and watching them just squander Russell Wilson the way that he plays, and just knowing that I only got one Super Bowl out of it, and it's the one that everybody forgets because they're like, he doesn't even really do anything. It was Peyton. He couldn't handle that snap, and the game was over, right? And you're like, no, there was more. We had Cam Chancellor. And it was like, no. I swear to God, I would give it back. I would give it all back. It's like, think about all the bad that has come, all the stress, all the weird Seahawks games. Twitter loves being like, the Seahawks play only weird games. You know who that's not healthy for? Seahawks fans. Like, you are laughing at we are not laughing with you. You are being laughed at. Connor Rohr, excellent work as always at Sports Illustrated. Love it, man. Thanks for making time for us today.
Yeah, thanks for having me. I appreciate it.
See you, buddy. Connor Rohr of SI. What do you guys think about that take? I would seriously give it all back. I would give it all back. And granted, in this reality, I get to live out like whatever the results are, whatever comes. But I think about it. I had the interception at the goal line, Pete Carroll not handing the ball to Marshawn Lynch.
Oh.
Then I had Pete Carroll fracturing that locker room and all of the defensive players that were in it, feeling that they were all secondary because he golden childed Russell Wilson. And then he did not embrace Russell Wilson as the golden child, actually, offensively. He started to be like, don't worry, we'll just run the ball with mediocre running backs and we'll draft like Rashad Penny's and whoever's it's in the first rounds. We'll blow all of our draft picks other than fluking into DK Metcalf. It's like the only one since that one draft class that they had. And then year over year over year, just like bad offensive mind, bad offense built around Russ. No real playoff success outside of beating an Eagles team that I can't even remember who finished at quarterback for them in that game. It was such a, oh my God, this is a laughable win for you.
You're big in the time machine takes today.
I think
living in the past.
I think trading in a Super Bowl for higher lows is an awful take.
Nope. Goodbye. But again, maybe I win. Maybe I win again.
Maybe.
Yep. But I just don't want to. I like, if I could just get the Men in Black stick. What sound did it make? Like, how did I get closer? What do you guys think? No?
No.
If I could get that Men in Black stick.
I'd like to get that right now so I don't have to remember you making those noises. Yeah.
Kevin in Oakville, Texan, Saints fan here. I feel your pain.
No, you don't. You've had Sean Payton. What are you talking about? He's been like literally the best coach in the NFL that isn't Belichick over the last like two decades. You felt pain in terms of tough losses, but it hasn't been the same. Nothing's been squandered for you.
It is text line Tuesday.
You got cheated by an official in a really bad way that actually changed the rules in the game. But no, you don't feel my pain, Saints fan.
Kevin.
How dare you, Kevin?
This is why your family left you home alone, Kevin.
Yeah.
Kevin, and then we have Kelvin.
Oh.
Coach Kelvin here.
Coach.
Most of your local curling clubs have curling try it days. Check out their websites. Most are free, and then they offer you 6 weeks to try membership. And he's hosting a wheelchair curling try it day in Newmarket this weekend.
Cool.
That's awesome. But I'm trying to play in a league, Kelvin. I have tried curling. It's fun. I've done try it day. I don't want 6 weeks for free just to be even more teased by the... And here's the thing. I actually would spend the money on this curling club that I want to go to. It's just that you can't get anybody else to, and I don't want to join some rando team. Like, I want to be there with my friends. That's the whole point. I already tried to... Did I not try to pitch you two on...
Yeah, we spend enough time together.
I think I need a break from you.
Okay. Mean.
I've curled. I like curling.
I need the Men in Black stick again now.
Yeah.
Let's just sit here. There we go.
Oh.
There it is.
Yeah.
You keep that as a drop. Actually.
See?
It was like pew, 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 pew.
I got there. I needed to work my way up. That's how I work. That's how my brain works. I start super dumb, and that's why I'm so long-winded, is it takes me a while
start
to get there.
Start at super dumb and end at just moderate dumb.
Yeah. Less dumb.
Yeah.
Sometimes more dumb.
Yeah.
Sometimes full circle dumb. Sometimes repeating dumb. Either way, I try.
Speaking of dumb, keep your texts coming. 590, 590. We're going to open up the text line again after the break. Go for DMs as well, I guess. JD's answering Instagram
DMs. Yeah, always
DMs.
Hit me up on the Insta DMs. I love my Insta DM
JD
people.
Bunkus, A-list
you know who's
Warfar.
Been in the Insta DMs?
Oh, yeah.
Next. This is,
after
the break.
Yeah. Yeah. Family drama on the show.
A notable DM for me.
I got one, too. Sorry to ruin it.
Yeah, you did.
Thanks. Stay tuned after the break. We'll tell you who's DMing us.
Unbelievable. No. It's a Fan Morning Show. Sports at 590 The Fan. We're back with text line.
Fan Morning Show. It's text line Tuesday. Blake's mom.
Excuse me?
Has DM'd both JD and I, and we have officially made it into the Murphy fam. How are you feeling? That's a big moment for us. Like, she's a listener.
I just liked it more when
well,
I could
you
say
thought
that
it was just me.
Slid into my
and
DM.
Then. Yeah, sorry, I had to ruin it. That she
you
also,
did. You ruined it. It's fine. What else is new?
But it's text line Tuesday, so even if you're not related to us, send us messages.
Do I not get any context of what my mom's DMing
you
guys?
No, it's a secret.
Oh, okay.
Who said that it's the same thing that we got? Oh, she liked a picture.
You know what she said to me? Bing bonga.
Did she really?
Yeah, she
That's
did.
Very sweet.
I swear she said bing bonga.
She did say it on the phone to me the other week.
Oh, my God,
too.
She's amazing.
So is your mom a professional
weightlifter?
Like, yeah, like she's like a
no. She's just in really
she's
good shape.
Fit.
Yeah, because it's like I assumed that it was actually professional.
No, She just works an office job, and then that's you know, they
passion.
Yeah, they have slowly built a gym in their basement as they work to finish it, and yeah, that's
because Ailish just and I just did the full creep together.
Well, you were in the bathroom.
Entire thing while you were in the bathroom.
Yeah, it's a lot of pictures of my jacked mom and my fat little nephew.
Oh, so cute.
Yeah,
baby of the year,
and a cat staring out the window. I liked.
Oh yeah, Daisy.
Yeah.
Which is irritating because that was always the what I wanted to name a dog, and they stole the name.
Wow, they sevened you.
Yeah.
I don't get that.
Yeah,
it's a Seinfeld reference.
I'm catching up on one show at a time, okay?
I know.
Have you decided what you're doing next after
you know, Succession? Yes, we have. I've decided for you. You're watching Chappelle's show.
Okay.
But didn't we come around to, like, so too much of it might be dated for her. Like she might not get
but
the...
that's even good. It's like a history lesson.
That's true, actually.
It's like a history lesson and the world's best.
But so you have to watch it and then Wikipedia all the jokes.
Yeah.
Be like,
oh, it's a lot of effort, but I'll do it for you guys.
I really didn't want to feel that old when I was like, what do you actually know about George Bush?
He was the president.
He was the president.
And he had something to do with the wars.
Yeah, he did. He sure did. All right, what's next?
Okay. Andrew Mississauga. Morning. Do you think the metallic blue helmet for the Leafs would be good like the Knights and the Kings did?
Nah. Here's the thing. The Leafs are a classic franchise. Yeah,
that would look awful.
When you have a classic franchise, a classic clean uniform.
Don't mess it up.
You don't need to be the Oregon Ducks.
You know who does stuff like that? My Jacksonville Jaguars.
Right.
With the matte black helmets or like the shiny gold parts. If you're the Jacksonville Jaguars, you do that stuff. If you're the Toronto Maple Leafs.
Speaking of ugly hockey stuff, the New Jersey Devils just announced their new jerseys, and it is literally a hockey jersey that says the word jersey.
Yeah, I love that. I love that it's a jersey. Like, I like the meta
element
of it.
5 seconds ago when we were off the air, you said you hated it.
No, it's ugly. It's super ugly. Okay. It's a terrible jersey. And I can't... And honestly,
a terrible jersey, but it literally just says jersey.
Jersey, I know. There's something about that I like. I don't like the actual application of it.
No, it doesn't look great.
The last thing I want to say is, you remember last year where the Leafs had the pajama uniforms and everyone hated them, and then people go, oh, kind of come around. No, it's because the Leafs have a classic uniform, so you don't mess with success. All you ever do is go back in the past and you pull one of the old ones out.
I wish they wore the St. Pat's jerseys more often.
Right.
I love those.
Except for there was that thing where they always lose in the St. Pat's stuff.
That's true.
But when the goalie's...
Worth it.
The goalie's getting to buy the brown leather.
Oh, my God. If I was a goalie, I would go vintage for sure.
It's honestly, it's... Merrick Wyshynski used to be a podcast. They used to do this thing called hockey porn. But it was always like, you know, if someone was like, and he touched the long stick, you know? That he grabbed his long stick. Was always the stuff that they would use for hockey, which is always really funny, right?
Yeah.
We get it a lot with basketball as well.
It's always penetration. It's always like a lot of penetration.
That and a lot of talk of being around the rim.
Yeah.
Oh, boy. That's
too much.
People are driving their kids to work right now. It's 8:35. There's kids listening.
No kid knows what that means.
You know,
so.
That's
kids
well,
these
I mean,
days.
I was like 32 before I... Anyway.
Okay.
Just kidding.
Why did you learn? Oh no. Okay.
I can't continue anymore.
Okay. Kevin B. from Newmarket.
Like
Kevin B. Newmarket, love the show. I like that you talk about all the sports.
Thank you.
Question for Blake. Have you heard about the in-season tournament for NBA this year or next?
Oh my God. I thought it was another wrestling question. I was going to just like break text line. It was done. Text line was about to end.
NBA.
Absolutely not for this year. They're not going to drop that in on short notice. It's something Adam Silver has openly liked for years now. The difficulty is going to be finding a way to give it stakes and not add to the cumulative load that keeps players in rough shape or injured by the playoffs. So they're experimenting a little bit with it in the G League this year. It's not quite the same thing, but they're splitting the G League season into like a mini tournament to start the year and then a proper regular season after. I don't think that would be the move either, but they continue to kick the tires on it. I don't care. Like, I think it would be years before there's enough built into it for people to care. But sure, whatever. If people have fun with it, cool.
Football is better. Squirt through the middle is a staple for Collingsworth, Andrew and Brampton.
No, this is too far. We've gone too far. We need to backtrack. We need to get out.
Joshua Markham, golf has great innuendo terminology.
Like, I'm trying to think of what it would be.
Is this just the we're going to get fired day? Or
sorry.
I know it's mostly my fault, but...
Like, you know, I don't want to do this. Yeah. And now, we were just all the whole time, we were just talking about Pascal Siakam and who the Blue Jays were going to sign. And what's up with football? Why isn't there more good teams? That's the
Speaking
show.
Of the Blue Jays,
uh-huh.
Pug from uh-huh. Toronto.
What up, Pug?
Pug. Yeah. Who would you rather sign, Kevin Gausman or Robbie Ray?
Come on. Come on, Pug. I saw this.
Come on, Pug.
I got some buddies that run an incredible Blue Jays Instagram account. I want to get it right. I'm not going to get it right.
Just giving out free plugs?
No, yeah. Blue Jays Center. Pug.
What, sorry?
Blue Jays Center. They do a great job. I love a lot of the stuff they post, but they posted that question the other day, and I was like, I'm going to unfollow you.
Oh.
What are you talking about, Kevin Gausman or Robbie Ray? Robbie Ray, a billion times out of a billion. What, you want to be the new gym teacher who doubts Robbie Ray?
Let's him walk so he can sign
Kevin Gausman? No. I don't want Kevin. If the Blue Jays sign Kevin Gausman, I would like to just officially lay down this audio. I've always wanted Kevin Gausman is the right choice for the Toronto Blue Jays. No, it's obviously Robbie Ray. It's Robbie Ray, the tight pants. It's the rip in the heaters. It's the filthy, filthy slider. The guy's coming off of a Cy Young season. I want to keep that momentum going. We already know that he fits in the clubhouse, that he's liked by his teammates. I don't even need to know any of the peripherals around Kevin Gausman or anything. It's like, did he win a Cy Young last year? No? Okay, then give me the Cy Young winner. Thank you.
They had almost identical numbers.
Don't care.
So, well, no, but I mean that backs your argument of like, hey, the devil you know, or not even the angel you know.
Well, you know where one guy did it?
In
the toughest division in all of baseball. And you know where the other guy did it? Not.
Yeah.
Although it was tough.
And then also, Gausman has like a longer track record of being at that level. Like this is...
Almost the exact same numbers though, eh?
Yeah, like 281 versus 284 ERA. Uh-huh.
Strikeouts
32-7 strikeout to walk percentage for Ray and 29-6.5. So Gausman with a few fewer strikeouts, but also a few fewer walks. But the ERA 0.03 off. It's not going to get much closer than that.
They're the same age too. I'm taking the devil, you know. I'm taking the guy that I already know can pitch in the American League East, who's not afraid of big moments, who fits in with the team, right? Like, that's it. And if it's all things being equal, there is something always to the Jays pursuing Gausman now for, I think, a third time.
Yeah.
This is actually, I believe, their third pursuit.
Now will you go out with me?
Yeah, I know. Yeah. It's a little creepy now, Blue Jays. Yeah.
All right, next line, text line. Uh-huh. Steve from Toronto.
What's up, Stevie?
I saw on Instagram that a guy did the Michigan twice in a month. What is the name of the kid that did it first, and why is it named after him? So I'll tell you about that. The first guy that did it. The one they pick up on a stick.
Lacrosse goal.
Yeah, the lacrosse goal.
Call it the lacrosse goal, though. Like, I needed to really think that out.
But the reason that it's called the Michigan.
Thought we were doing more sex innuendo stuff.
No, none of that. The reason Michigan. It's called the Michigan is because of a guy named Mike Legg. Two G's. Mm-hmm. And I think the reason that it's not called the leg goals, because that could be confusing, but he played for University of Michigan when he scored that goal. This was in 1996 NCAA tournament, and Michigan was down 2-1, and he pulled that out. Pretty crazy. But he also announced that he learned that from someone else in his hometown of London, Ontario, Bill Armstrong, who was a point-per-game player in the NHL. Mm. He did that once in 1993, was it? So 3 years before Legg tried it in a game. So it kind of goes way back in time, but back in 1993, it wasn't going to go viral on Instagram, obviously. So he did it, then Mike Legg did it, and then now it's called the Michigan for that reason. And someone has been doing it, tearing it up. And this, I don't know who this person is. He said that they saw him do it twice in a month. I'll have to look it up.
It's pretty, do you guys remember when Kyle intense. Wellwood tried it?
I've tried it before, and it is that? Very embarrassing when you can't get it. Yeah, Kyle Wellwood.
Yeah, it's very embarrassing when you can't get it.
When you like try to do it and then the earth doesn't like pick up on your stick and you're just like, oh, I wasn't trying.
But have you tried to do it in a game or at a practice?
Oh, in like scrimmage? Just like for fun. I would never try to do that in a game. Are you kidding me? I'm like dumping the puck in and getting off.
Well, come on. When you played professional hockey, that was you, but yeah. You also are someone who has been in like the Canadian Olympic track.
Well, I would more do that in practice and like for fun, like in a little shinny or something.
Yeah, that's not embarrassing.
And then you can play it off if you make a mistake.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm sure you do that really well. If there's anything that I've learned about you in the short period of time is that you play off things really well and that it's like, oh, Ailish was just kidding everybody.
Okay, moving on. Here we go. Ian from Mississauga. Speaking of Robbie Ray, mm-hmm. What about what Ken Rosenthal reported yesterday on Twitter about him and the Blue Jays being close for a deal?
Nope. That was a fake Ken Rosenthal account.
Oh, Ian, you got scammed. Yeah. Ian. Yeah. Ian.
Hey, you weren't the only one.
Oh, you weren't the only one that got scammed.
You sure weren't.
You sure weren't. Other people got
the
scammed.
The fact that you knew that right away means that you had to like double down on it.
No, it's because someone notable got tricked by it yesterday. Ooh. And I'm not going to mention that person. I'm not going to sewer them like that, but
yeah.
Oh, the guy that did it.
But you could probably guess who it was.
Yeah, and if someone texts it, Ailish, don't read it out.
I will.
Yeah. That's poor
Wait.
Form.
Can I just ask you guys a question before we move on?
Of course you can.
Have you guys ever fallen, do you remember ever falling for the fake account? Have you ever fallen for it to the point where you've been like, oh my God, I'm so mad at myself.
I'm going to find.
In the early days of stuff breaking on Twitter when it was new. And then the way to.
That doesn't count.
I know. The way to get around it is A, notifications for the big news breakers, and B, TweetDeck columns.
Yeah. So yeah. Everybody's you.
I know, but I'm saying that's how I avoid it.
Yeah. But I'm saying, when you were like, hey, people, do this. Even when you said the first part, I was like, it's too much work. Yeah. I just want to open my phone and scroll it mindlessly, Blake. I don't want to have to actually, put effort into this. So, but you haven't gotten as a professional.
Not any time that I can remember recently.
I don't think I've ever gotten in the sense of, shared it. But I've definitely seen things before and gotten really excited only to have it be 2 seconds. I will say, if anything, I had the opposite story that I remember where I was out at a bar and it was 2 a.m. I want to say it was a weekend. It was I was blitzed after a Blue Jays game. And
these guys
leaned over to my table and were like, Kawhi signed with the Clippers. And I was like, you idiots, you stupid, dumb idiots. Obviously, it's a fake account. It's 2 o'clock in the morning. Mm. He wouldn't do that on a Friday. He did that.
Yeah, I was on my way home from cheap beer karaoke in Vegas.
It ruined the whole night. It was a bunch of people from university. We were all together having a blast. We'd been out all night together, one of those catch up, remember when nights. And everyone, I was drinking Long Island iced teas, having a good time. Summer, it was hot.
Long Island iced teas are dangerous.
Yeah.
There's 15 types of alcohol in there.
Yeah, I know.
Disaster.
Yeah. I had a billion of them. I was just into the cocktails. I get in my stretches in the hot summer nights where I go, let's see the cocktail menu. Let's see what you got. And this particular establishment said they did an incredible Long Island iced tea, which I don't even know how that's a thing because they're all basically the same. It's just Coke and booze. It's hey, you like Coke and booze? I'm like, I guess so. Bring it on out.
Coca-Cola.
Yeah. So any kind of cola.
Just clarifying what type of Coke you're talking.
Yeah, no, it's not Coke, and they don't pour cocaine into the glass.
You know what? We just need to be very specific about what we were saying.
Yeah, okay.
Okay. Mike from Southwest Toronto.
Look at you, druggy. That's where your mind goes first.
From Southwest Toronto. First of all, this is so specific. Is that Parkdale?
All right. Yeah.
Is Parsons the best player from the most recent NFL draft? If not, who do you think is, and who will be the best player from it?
Well, right now, the case would be
Mac Jones.
Mm-hmm. But again, it's like, hey, if Mac Jones was on the Jacksonville Jaguars, would he be good? No, probably not. Do I think he'd be better than Trevor Lawrence? For sure, because Trevor Lawrence is a huge bust, and that's going to hurt for a long time if you cheer for the Jaguars. But Micah Parsons, to me, is the most situational, independent player that is going right now. So if you're asking me who I think is the most heads above the rest of his peers, then yes, he is the best player in the draft. He's not the most important, but he's damn close. He sure feels important every game when he's in the backfield nailing quarterbacks.
Would you consider a Ja'Marr Chase argument, or the last 2 weeks he's tailed off a little too
much. I would consider it. No, because last week he had an incredible touchdown catch.
Mm-hmm. It's just the volume has been down a little bit.
Sure,
the last couple weeks, but that's because you had 159, 97, and 201 yards over a three-week stretch.
I'm really glad you brought him up, because I would say that right now, if you're doing offensive rookie of the year, he would even be ahead of Mac Jones for me. Like, he's been that good. Mm-hmm. Think about the best receivers in the NFL right now. Like, close your eyes, and who comes to mind?
Oh, good answer. Ja'Marr Chase, obviously.
Well, I think Justin Jefferson.
Yeah.
Where I'm like, this guy, just every play, he just seems so open. Like, so incredibly open.
The magic of analytics darling Kirk Cousins.
Well, here's the actual tea on that. All the Kirk Cousins tests, I think Kirk Cousins is getting a little disrespect this year. I think Kirk Cousins is better than people think he is, just because, again, he's a contract guy, right? And that's what modern-day sports fans know. But a big part of the Kirk Cousins story is just simply, hey, he's the quarterback that gets to throw to Thielen and Jefferson, but mostly Jefferson. Thielen is amazing. Thielen is incredible. And Jefferson is, like, way better than him.
Yeah. I'd have Cooper Kupp at the top.
So Kupp is one of them. Mm. But Kupp is also a guy where I'm like, how much of you is it that it's like McVay's offense is designed perfectly for you? What would you be? I'm just saying, like, I think Ja'Marr Chase.
Do you feel a little similarly about, like, Tyreek Hill's case?
No, where, I think Tyreek Hill is genuinely in that class, too.
And then I think you have probably to round out, like, a top five or six, like Debo and Devontae Adams. Debo's been awesome.
See, I think Adams is there. I don't think Debo is there.
Okay. Too gimmicky for right now?
Yeah, Debo's a beast. I'm just saying that I think in this class of receivers, you have Justin Jefferson, you have Devontae Adams, and I think that you have Ja'Marr Chase. I really do.
Cooper Kupp.
No.
Okay.
No Cooper Kupp. Cooper Kupp is in the hall of the next tier. Like, maybe leads the next tier of guys, but I think that if we're talking about the best three receivers in the game, Ja'Marr Chase is going to be able to do things athletically that Cooper Kupp in his wildest dream of dreams wouldn't even put himself in.
Yeah.
That's like a Matrix reality.
There's a pretty meaty second tier there, too, where we could get into guys like Diggs and Godwin and...
Yeah, Diggs. Yeah. I think we all know that Diggs is.
I'm trying to play to the audience.
But
here.
I'm playing to both of you by ripping both of you. I made the Trevor Lawrence bus joke, and now I'm saying Diggs sucks. Yeah. Like I'm in a heelish mood now.
Yeah, I sold the Trevor Lawrence thing. I do not care.
I know. Yeah, you're dead inside.
Yeah.
What's next?
Wow, lots going on here. A couple questions about F1. Mike from Stratford, with two races left in F1, who will win the championship, Lewis or Verstappen?
Lewis.
Also, I know another text from Jason and Markham. I know you don't know enough to have a more educated take on who will win the F1 championship, but who do you want to win and why?
Lewis.
Yes.
I love, by the way, I never read the ones that insult me openly as I'm, they're like, I know you're too much of an idiot to even bother asking.
I think they're being polite. Don't give me analysis. Like, who do you want to win?
Yeah, that's.
I hope polite. That was what Jason and Markham was saying. Not like you guys are morons.
So I got to admit something.
I want Verstappen to win.
I hate Verstappen now that he pulled out of the Netflix documentary and that he's a little baby brat about it.
I agree with that, but I still want him to win. I'm on the team heel.
The problem is that you're either cheering for the most dominant guy to be dominant.
Yeah.
Who, as cool as he might be, it's like, what's the fun in cheering for the front runner of all front runners? Like,
that's why I think it would be awesome for Max, like, dethroned.
I know, but it's just that if Max wins, you're going to have the champion be in the Netflix doc not talking the entire time.
But it's not just about the next Netflix doc.
I just think it's so lame that your sport that's already kind of, let's be honest, pretty exclusive, right?
Mm-hmm.
It requires a lot to know about that sport. And it's very much a you don't know anything about my sport. And it's not even a sport. It's a motorsport, which is different. But for you to not embrace people coming into it by any means necessary is so lame to me. It's like, I have a problem with this in all sports. This is why I brought up the John Morant dunk contest thing. Is like, as soon as you forget the people who make you rich, I'm out on you. Like, I'm just out. I just don't care about you anymore. Like, you don't care about the fans and I don't care about you. Sorry, done.
Maybe I see it both ways as an athlete, that like he wants to be focused on winning because this year is so important for him to dethrone Lewis Hamilton. So I gave him a little bit more sympathy than you are. And also, it's I love the Netflix documentary. It got me into F1, but it's not, that's not what this sport is about, the Netflix documentary. Like, it's a nice side thing.
For sure. Of course. But you think that when he steps into a race car that's going 10 billion miles per hour, he's like, what did I do with the Netflix crash? Like, no. He's just dialed in. And you know what it really is? Is he knows he's a brat.
Yeah,
he knows he's a, like, bit of a... He's a rich kid from Monaco who drives a race car, and he's in a feud with Lewis Hamilton.
Sails out, nails out, bro.
Yeah, and he's in a feud, and he's doing like some pretty cheeky things in a race car, and those two guys have been both doing pretty cheeky things.
It's been so fun, though.
But that's what I mean, and this guy doesn't want to have to answer for any of it, and that's all it is. It's not about being distracted or the main prize. That's the kind of spin zone crap that they try to sell you.
Spin zone.
Yeah.
This is a good question. Out of all the big sports leagues in North America, NHL, MLB, NBA, NFL, NASCAR, F1, which do you think has the youngest fan base, Dave and Whippy?
It's the NBA, statistically.
Oh. Yeah. Well.
I was going to say.
Nerd. I didn't know that off the top of my head. I was actually going to enjoy thinking about it, but I guess it was NBA. Moving on.
My only quote-unquote counter to the statistics of this, though, is that it's like, the NFL has the most fans, and I would guess that there's more young fans of the NFL than there are fans of the NBA. Like, it's always, it's one of those things where we always love to compare these sports. Like, oh, it's the four sports. They're the four North American sports. And it's like, yeah, it's football. And then it's like, sure, whatever you other guys think you're doing over there. And like,
especially
that's
when
it.
You think of North America as a whole, like with the states, you know, they definitely are big football people.
Listen, we just saw the NFL numbers. Like, I sent them out to you guys the other day. Like, the NFL, even in this country, dominates. It's a dominator.
We have time for one more.
Yeah, we do.
Who would be more fun to go to the bar with? Blake, JD, or A?
Ailish.
Yeah, that's I would order them Ailish, JD, me.
Wow, that was easy. Thanks,
I think that's
guys.
Clear.
Yeah.
Self-awareness is an important thing.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, see, there you go. That you just got the preview of him at the bar. Like, hey,
just, it's not actually accurate, though. Like, you guys have been to the bar with me.
Yeah, I know. You're a fun guy.
Yeah.
I got to tell you.
But I got to play up the character here.
No, but I actually think that we're all really good bar people.
I think so.
Yeah, I think that we're all, like, high-level bars.
High-level bars.
I'm a beersman. I've said this.
You are a beersman.
Yeah.
I think all of us can keep up in a lot of different conversations.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of us like to drink and chat, and that's really what else is the bar about? And if you're at a sports bar, who would you rather be with than with us?
No.
Tell ya.
I don't know.